This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. This is Houston's Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Here's Bill O'Brien talking about whether or not 100% of his roster has reported for training camp.
We've spent probably the first, three or four virtual meetings. Dr. Muntz educated him on the corona. From a coaching perspective, I educated him on the corona. Jeff Kaplan is involved with educating him. Roland Ramirez, Jack Easterby. I think every single day there's been some type of education on it, you know, and I don't understand why it's been politicized as much as it has, but it has. But, you know, obviously we tell our players, like, I don't really care what somebody, you know, politicizes about mask wearing. Mask wearing has been proven, scientifically proven, to reduce your chances of getting the coronavirus. So we're going to do that. You know, we're going to wear our masks when we're in the building and until we get out to practice with helmets on. But we're going to also socially distance. That's also been scientifically proven. We have face recognition doorways all around. We have traffic patterns within the building. We have three different training rooms, three different locker rooms. Our weight room is being scrubbed about probably a half a dozen times a day. So I feel like we're really on the right track with where we're headed with it. And I think our players understand that, and we'll continue to educate them. I tell them every morning, like this morning, hey, we had zero negatives, zero positive tests. We had 100% negatives and that's a good thing. So, you know, we kind of report to them at least initially here every morning about that.
Okay.
I think this is where the team mentality, the all-for-one mentality in a football locker room really helps. And the reason I say that is it's one of those things where when the coach or the leadership of an organization says, this is how it's going to be done, doesn't matter what your opinion is. You're going to do it that way. You know what I mean? Like if coach says this, even you don't have an opinion. You do it that way. And I know professional sports is different than high school or college, but I still think there's that mentality of we've got to all do what coach says. You got to please the head coach and the general manager. In this case, it's the same person. So when Bill O'Brien says to his players on these meetings, these virtual meetings, you're going to wear a mask. You're going to socially distance. You're going to be careful when you leave this facility. You're going to do things this way, or you can't play for us. I think that's where it really helps, because that it's going to keep them a lot safer if they can get it done.
Yeah, I mean, he said that they haven't had 100% of the players report.
Right.
He said that. There was a lot before it, but that's what Bill O'Brien said, was that he didn't have 100% of people report the players. Easterby kind of dodged around it too. So it brings up the question, who has not reported for the Houston Texans? Because it is not 100%. Neither one of them would say as much. So it leads to a little bit of thinking.
Who's not there?
Who's not there?
Boy, it would be just total reckless speculation. But, I mean, we all have opinions. I think what the bigger story is here is there's some people – with some trepidation. I mean, there's some people that are maybe a little reluctant, or they have something going on in their own lives. You heard earlier, or maybe it was the next question, talking about Eddie Vanderdoes, and Bill O'Brien supported his decision to opt out 100%. I guess he said a family member had some issues, with COVID or with some sort of health issue, and so he decided to opt out, and they supported that. So maybe these other players have, you know, very similar things going on.
Interesting. I mean, it's just interesting. We haven't quite heard. We've seen, you know, players opt out of other teams, but we haven't quite heard. We'll hear that from Bill O'Brien a little bit later. But let's hear from Jamal Adams. A lot of people wanted Jamal Adams, Bill O'Brien, to make a trade for Jamal Adams. But damn, that price was high. Two first-round picks, a fourth, and a starting safety. Jamal Adams met with the media types yesterday, and he was asked about the reaction to the trade the Seahawks made. A lot of people criticizing the Seahawks because they traded two firsts for a player that plays a, quote, non-premium position. Jamal Adams, your reaction to that?
Man, at the end of the day, man, everybody's going to have an opinion about something, right? You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, I have to go out there and continue to do what I do, continue to learn. And, you know, people that really know ball and watch ball and know me, the whole box safety word is just, it doesn't even matter. You know what I mean? Because if you just turn on the film, I do a little bit more than just stay in the box.
Okay.
There you go.
I see you.
Do you have any idea how hard it is to win an NFL? That's what That was his Bill O'Brien.
Anybody who knows football knows that was a good trade. Okay. But what about the people that think you're a distraction, Jamal? Because, I mean, you just kind of intensely talked your way out of New York. What about the people who might question your character?
I'm not a distraction in the locker room. I've never been in trouble in my life, you know, growing up. It just never happened. And anybody that was my teammate or that knows me, they will tell you, man, I'm far from a problem. All I want to do is win and bring the best. And like I said, I'm a energy guy, I'm a juice guy, man. I love to have fun. Okay. And you know, that's just who I am, man. And I'm never gonna change who I am.
He's a juice guy.
He's a juice guy.
I watched this whole thing yesterday. I got lost in the Jamal Adams energy. So I watched a 40-minute press conference of Jamal Adams. I don't know if I need to reevaluate my life or if that's just my type of party. But I want to play a game with you, John. I want to play a game of is he lying as we go around the NFL here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig. Is he telling the truth when he says this? This is Jamal Adams talking about the Jets.
I have nothing but love and respect for a lot of those guys over there in that organization. I wish them well. I really do. I know a lot of people might, you know, think it's not coming from the heart, but it really is, man. And I'm pulling for him.
You're pulling for him? Is he pulling for the Jets, John Lopez?
I think this is a half and half. I think the first half of the answer was true. The second was not.
He does not want the Jets to go 16-0. I can assure you.
He doesn't want them to win. He wants them to lament the fact that he's gone. But I think he does have a lot of respect and friends in that locker room.
All right. Now this is a two-piece combo because we got a two-piece combo today. Astros Rockets. This is a two-piece combo from Jamal Adams in my midsection and then in Figgy's midsection. My midsection. Because of my lifelong loyalty to the University of Texas football program, and Figgy's midsection because of something that happened to him this past week that I feel so bad for him because it happened. Here is Jamal Adams talking about where he almost went to college, the University of Texas.
I was going to the University of Texas, obviously looking for the school I wanted to go to, and Quandre was there. I was always... You know, I admired him and Kenny Vaccaro, Earl, all those guys that was there, Coach Aquina. The history of defensive backs was really in Texas, right? And, Quandre wanted me to come very, very bad. He was my host. We had a great time on 6th Street. I'll never forget it. It was a great time, man.
All right, so he had a great time on 6th Street. Now, you know I'm a UT fan, so I would have loved to have had Jamal Adams there. Figgy Fig, on the other hand. You want to talk about bad luck, John Lopez.
What happened?
Figgy Fig went to Austin last week for the first time in his life. He called me.
Nice.
He said, Where should I go? I said, well, damn, the bars are closed, so I don't know what to tell you. Figgy's first trip to Austin and 6th Street is closed, J-Lo.
Man, I hadn't thought about that.
Not only closed, but boarded up. It was like a ghost town.
Wow.
I had to make sure it was the right 6th Street.
You can get dollar drinks on 6th Street now. You can go down and get dollar drinks at every bar almost. Like, they got some deals. Figgy would have had a great time, but he goes to Austin and there is no 6th Street.
I've had some fun in Austin, man.
So have I.
I mean, 6th Street. What are they called? SoCo. I like that area a lot. South Congress. A lot of places, man. Up on the river. You can have some fun there, that's for sure.
Well, not if it's closed. Aaron Rodgers. This is awesome right here. This is candid stuff from a Hall of Fame quarterback. So you remember when Jordan Love was drafted by the Green Bay Packers in the first round? This was Aaron Rodgers with Kyle Brandt of NFL Network. He has a new Ringer podcast titled 10 Questions. He asked Aaron Rodgers about the night that Jordan Love was drafted. It does not get more candid and honest than this from an active NFL player.
With the 26th pick in the 2020 NFL draft, the Green Bay Packers select Jordan Love, quarterback, Utah State. What's your reaction?
I was watching the draft and thinking about which receiver might be there at that time. And there was a run on him there in the early 20s. And a kid from LSU, who I loved watching, went, I think, to Minnesota in the early 20s. I knew the kid from Clemson was still there, and I enjoyed watching him as well. I didn't know maybe as much about him. And the kid from Arizona State as well, I think they liked him. When they traded up, perked up a little bit. And then I got a text, because everything's so delayed. I got a text from my agent. He said he just texted quarterback. I was like, oh, wow, okay. Once I got that text, I went to the pantry. I poured myself, about 4 fingers. Like I said, I wasn't elated by the pick, you know, especially being one game away from the Super Bowl and feeling like we're a couple players away. But as much as people want to make parallels to certain things, you know, in 2004, the Packers were 10-6 and lost in the first round of the playoffs. We were 13-3, you know, one game from the Super Bowl, won a playoff game at home. Obviously won our division, a little different circumstance, not to mention that Brett had talked about retiring for a few years before that. So, you know, I've talked about playing in my 40s. So, when people start talking about the parallels to this and that, well, I fell at 24. They traded up and drafted Jordan. So,
I mean, that is really candid. And I love it. I love that he was just being as honest as he could be. Poured himself a stiff drink.
4 fingers. What is 4 fingers of a drink?
That's a lot of booze.
So that's just the whole thing. That's about 5 shots of tequila. Wow.
Yeah, something like that.
Very honest. So we got a candid NFL player that told us a lot. Jack Easterby met with the media for the first time today. Did he tell us anything at all? We'll discuss next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Jack Easterby at his first media session earlier today. John Lopez, how would you describe the first Q&A session with Bill O'Brien's right-hand man, Jack Easterby? You're the one with the vocabulary. Why are you asking me?
I know. It kind of left you wanting more. Unfulfilled is the word, because you know Jack Easterby has all kinds of energy, you know Jack Easterby has all kinds of power, you know he's very, very smart, he's aggressive, he certainly knows what he wants, he's climbed through the ranks very quickly, he might not say very quickly, I'm talking about in the NFL though, he's gone from chaplain to basically co-general manager, whatever you want to call it, and he said a lot of words, but a lot of it was just never really directly assessing or answering some of the points that were brought up. So it was a little unfulfilling.
Okay.
Sounded good. It sounded impressive. He's definitely blessed.
Yeah, he said that about 8 times. Here is Jack Easterby talking about if he's talked to any players that have considered opting out for the 2020 season. Here is Jack Easterby's answer to that question.
I don't think as you talk to players, you necessarily talk to them with a specific end in mind, right, is that we're in a different environment right now. The players have just entered the building, and so you don't start with the end in mind in any conversation. You just listen. You got to be a great listener. You have to be a great listener. Players are going through it. Staff are going through it. Everybody's going through it. And so we just have to, you know, as a staff, be great listeners. So, yes, I've tried to lend my ear to all the players and as best I can be there for them and our staff as we walk through the first, you know, let's call it couple weeks of doing this full speed to be available for any, you know, trepidations or hesitations somebody might have. So we've tried to be there for everybody, player, staff, coach, anybody.
You translate that this for me, please.
This is the perfect example of what I'm talking about. The perfect example you just picked there. He was asked if any players, if he's heard of any players who have decided or considering opting out. And he says, I don't talk to him about that. I listen. I lend my ear to the players. Well, what have they said? When you're listening, do any of them say they're considering this or talk about it or consider it? Now, you don't have to give us names. Certainly, you know, I know they have, what, 5-6 more days until they can officially make that proclamation that they're opting out. But this is it. It sounded impressive, right? I mean, he said a lot of really cool things there. He had that energy, that Jack Easterby energy. It just wasn't quite like it didn't get you to where you thought you would get.
No, I didn't really follow what was going on there, quite honestly. I feel like I'm kind of in a weird dream after hearing that one, but that's just me. Here's Jack Easterby talking about the state of the team, because capital T, capital E, capital A, capital M has been a popular topic this offseason, especially following the trade of DeAndre Hopkins. He was asked about the state of the team, final question of his presser. Here is what Jack Easterby had to say about the state of the team.
This offseason, as we've added, you know, Coach and I have been very intentional, right, about the type of people and players that we've added to support the initiative that's going on in our program right now, which is dependable, tough, smart. You know, Coach has said it ad nauseum from the microphone and in our locker rooms and at every corner of our building, dependable guys, tough guys, and smart guys. And so whether it's the draft or it's free agency or it's other means, you know, that's the goal, is to add people that fit those attributes. And we think we've done that. And we're really excited about those guys. And quite frankly, it's time for some of that to actually hit the ground and start, right? It's them getting time together and start really getting out there. And hopefully those values and some of those awesome leadership traits transition into our locker room quickly over the next few days.
There we go. So hopefully those awesome leadership traits. I'm assuming he's talking about the Randall Cobbs and the Brandon Cooks. Their leadership traits,
people they're bringing
into the locker room.
Yeah, no, I think that's what he's talking about. Tough, smart, dependable, and you know, he even used the term ad nauseum there, and so it's been mentioned a lot. It was fine. Nothing wrong
fine?
With necessarily that answer,
but
it was
fine. That means you hated it.
I didn't.
I know
love
you.
It.
I know you. Like,
no, I didn't
I know
love
you.
It.
Yeah, you hated
well,
it.
I started from the very beginning here. I've said it was just unfulfilling.
Yeah, you didn't like it at all. You didn't like what you heard at all. You didn't like the questions, though, either, right?
A lot of the questions were more...
just getting, you know, sound clips, basically.
Exactly.
Like, that's it.
Exactly.
Like, you're just in the way, not asking, you know, just asking, like, the generic questions that don't even matter. I mean, I think there was one point where they asked someone what their second question was. They didn't even remember. Like, I mean, there's people in there asking Jack Easterby questions. They don't even remember what their second question was. What are you doing? Like, you just need to roll tape? Like, then just observe. Like, yeah. Stay in mute and just observe. Like, get your audio and roll. I wanted to hear more from Easterby. And it's not his fault we didn't, although he didn't answer that that question.
A lot of the questions.
Yeah, but, I mean, damn, you could – this is the first taste we got of – a Q&A with Easterby, and you're asking him generic stuff just to fill the nightly news. I just don't understand it. That's that you're doing a disservice, honestly. Like, I don't want to go on a rant about it. Like, it's
go
Friday.
Ahead,
it's a great day. Like, I'm not trying to get pissed off. Like, you got probably the biggest game that we've had in a long time with the Rockets and the Mavs. Like, this game means the most probably since the Texans faced the Chiefs, because
you could fall within a half game of the seven seed. Like, there's a ton to be excited about. Like, this is awesome. Like, I'm pumped, man. Like, as soon as we get off the air, I'm going to be excited. I'm going to do post game tonight. I'm going to be running on adrenaline. I'm going to watch the Rockets. I'm probably going to stay up all night. Hell, I might stop at the corner store on the way home and pick up a 12-pack or something like that just to be ready. I'm excited. But you know what? I was also excited to hear from Jack Easterby in a Q&A setting for the first damn time. And I get you asking generic COVID questions about testing. Like, what are you doing, man? Like it's one thing to ask Bill O'Brien that when he's had three media sessions, but you're asking a guy who has been a mysterious guy for a long time, who's climbed up the ladder at NRG, who we haven't heard from and had a Q&A session from. The only time we've heard from him was after the Hopkins trade, and that was a controlled setting with Vandermeer and Cal McNair and stuff. And you get a crack to ask this guy, this mysterious guy, who has become basically the de facto GM with Bill O'Brien. You get a chance to ask him about everything that's happened this offseason, and you're asking him about what the facial recognition and stuff like that. Like, what are you doing, man?
You're serious?
Like, what are you doing? Like, good Lord, they sent you a freaking news release the other day about the facial recognition. And you're asking this guy, that it's a disservice, man. It's a freaking disservice. What we just saw there, honestly, I've been holding it in because I don't want to get in trouble after and say, Landry, you got too mad about something. That right there was garbage. That was garbage, what we heard from the questions you asked Jack Easterby. Garbage.
I'm not going to go on a rant.
It takes till 30 seconds left to ask about the team. But you asked about facial recognition. Why don't you ask him about his approach to wiping his butt while you're at it for your nightly news? Start taking it serious and start thinking about the fans when you go ask these questions, or just sit out of the damn Zoom meeting. Seriously. I'm pissed off about it. Good Lord. Is it 8 o'clock yet so I can watch some sports?
That was awesome. I don't want to go on a rant, but.
God. I mean, geez, man. Like, I'm sitting here trying to hype up. Like, you know, sometimes it's hard to hype up stuff. But, you know, I'm just so high on sports right now. I'm excited, and I was legitimately excited to hear Jack Easterby's first Q&A. They might as well have had the what's the guy's name? Jake Kaplan or whatever, the sanitary guy. They might as well have had the sanitary guy go up there and ask questions with what they're asking Jack freaking Easterby. Get the hell out of here with what y'all were doing. Y'all wasted everybody's time. But I hope you got your news clip. I hope to see it on the nightly news, these questions about hand sanitizer and facial recognition. Not the Hopkins trade. Not, you know, how did you find your path to getting up here? Not, you know, you got rid of DJ Reader. At least I know that they got hospital quality hand sanitizer. Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate it.
to be sure. Who knows how much of an answer you would have gotten, you know, because like, we have examples and we've been playing
them. There was no chance to hear anything.
No, I know. But yeah, I would have loved to have heard, hey, Jack, how do you and Bill O'Brien, you know, split up personnel duties?
Thank you.
You know, building
Thank you.
The team.
What is
you
your
know,
responsibility?
How do you,
what do you do?
How do you do that?
What do you do? Like all this stuff. And we're asking him about freaking hand sanitizer. Look, I'm tired of being the one that's the most turned up here. Larry and Stafford, help me out, please, man. You're normally the one getting angry. Help me out, please, because I'm pissed off about that. Maybe I just need to relax. Help me, Larry.
No, you don't need to relax. Hey, look here. First of all, I hope y'all have a good weekend. But you shouldn't have expected nothing else from the Easter Bunny, man. See, this thing is with the Texans. They have this thing that where they just lock down all information because they don't feel like you guys or we as fans are in any kind of position to want or deserve to hear anything different. Jack Easterby, all he did was went to that little notepad that he has with all his affirmations on it and just said, how do I get through this little segment? He said nothing. He didn't go into any kind of detail or any kind of explanation of why they came to the conclusion that Eric Murray and all these other guys they brought in are going to be beneficial to the team that ended the season in Kansas City where they should have won that game. They don't even talk about any of that because I know in most people's cases, they don't like going back down a road that lead them into an alley where they got their ass kicked. But Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby did absolutely nothing. And I get it. We're living in a time where the pandemic, and you want to tell me that you got some high-end some kind of new technology that allows your hand sanitizer to spray the whole damn building down before anybody walk in there, that's fine. That don't matter to me as a football fan. I care about the fact that all them players over there have not tested positive. They've all tested negative. But what he gave us today was nothing, man. But I didn't expect anything different from him because I know that's the game they want to play with everybody because they've allowed themselves to be able to be in a position to manipulate the media like they've been doing. John McClain and all these people go over there and ask the same damn questions, and everybody walk out there and pat each other on the back saying, well, we made it through that one again. We didn't give them nothing. Good job, Billy O and Easter Bunny. It was a joke, man, but I'll tell you what. All I care about is whether or not Deshaun Watson is going to play football this year. And the fact of the matter is, if we're still banking on Brandon Cooks being a choir boy, Jack Easterby could have said something about his relationship with him. All I care about is what's going to happen over there on Kirby on the football field. I don't expect nothing from OB and the Easter Bunny, man, and I'll holler.
There you go, Larry and Stafford. All right. Look, man, I'm not trying to call out, like, I think Bill O'Brien gets asked the right questions. I really do. I think it's.
I thought Bill O'Brien did a good job, right, about as good as you could expect.
I wanted to hear about hand sanitizer, facial recognition, bubbles, Zooms, all that crap from Bill O'Brien. I've heard about football from him many times, but the Easterby just tap out was just, you know, whatever, you know.
Look, I thought B.O.B. did about as good as you could expect from B.O.B., you know. But I also feel like, Easterby, again, showed some energy, talked about, his excitement and some of the things that he's doing and went into details of things that weren't really asked. To be fair, he did his job. I mean, Larry and Stafford just hit it. That's kind of their motivation. I mean, he did what he needed to do, but didn't really get a lot of meat on the bone.
713-572-4610 if you want to get in. There's a lot of tripping that's about to go on. Friday Future Tripping. There are 2, 4, 5 games going on this weekend of local interest. We will forecast those in Friday Future Trippin', and we will also talk about the biggest game of them all, which is happening in about 7.5 hours next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
This is what Bill O'Brien had to say about if 100% of his players have reported to training camp. This is interesting, J-Lo, because the question was straight up, have 100% of your players reported 41 days away from the game against the Chiefs? Here's what he had to say.
You know, I think the players are impressed with that. I think we have a good schedule. We've broken the team up into 5 different teams, and so guys are staggered coming into the building, and the weightlifting staggered, and the training rooms. We have 3 different training rooms. And then eventually we'll all end up on the field at the same time. But the scheduling has been a monumental task. But I feel like we're off to a good start with scheduling.
Okay.
What does that mean?
It means not everyone has reported.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's fair. And reasonable to think that. I think a lot of NFL teams, if not all, have had some guys that are still contemplating things. They have, you know, a few more days to make that declaration and not face any penalties. So I think a lot of teams are.
I guess.
Right?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, the Chiefs had 100%, minus the guys who opted out, obviously. But, I mean, it seems like everyone would be there. I guess this is something to keep an eye on whenever they get things going. But that's what we know from Bill O'Brien, and maybe we don't know that much, but we do know that tonight the Rockets are going to be back in action, 8:00 ESPN. Big game against the Mavs. This is the biggest game that has been played by the 3 major teams since the Texans lost to the Kansas City Chiefs, and they blew that 24-point lead. I mean, as far as magnitude, I mean, obviously it's not playoffs or anything like that, but, you know, this is a game where I don't want to say your season's on the line, but things get a lot more interesting because if you do fall that half game from falling to the 7th seed, I don't think you're going to. I know I'm not going to expect the Rockets to make any kind of run if they're facing the Los Angeles Clippers in the first round. This is the
right,
biggest
and
game
that's and that's what we're talking about here. You know why this is such an important game, because right now. That's their biggest competition. If the Mavericks beat the Rockets today, they'll be 41-27. The Rockets will be 40-25. And they'll be within a half game of having to face the Clippers or Lakers, and that's where it gets dicey. Right now, the Mavericks are facing the Clippers in the standings if the postseason were to start. So you don't want any part of that. We saw Lakers and Clippers last night. Really good game, by the way. So was the first one, Utah and New Orleans. We saw them last night. These are the two teams that you do not want to see.
The two teams that you do not, yeah. I'm 100% with you on that. What about the Astros? Lance McCullers being on the bump for the Stros. What do you think about potential blood out there in Anaheim?
Yeah, I don't see it. And I was predicting it for Game 2 of the Dodgers series, but a lot has changed since I was making that prediction. Namely, the commissioner, and he's not the he's got his flaws and blind spots, but I think that the hefty suspension that he gave to Joe Kelly sent a real message. I mean, it served a purpose. That's going to be a lot of people are going to be noticing that. And Joe Maddon, as we've heard today, has been very adamant about, I don't want any part of that stuff. That doesn't mean it's not going to happen, because pitchers can act on their own. They're grown men. They can do what they want to do. But I think it certainly would affect it. And I don't see the Astros, getting hit tonight.
Here's what all the fuss was about. Here is a courtesy of AT&T Sportsnet, Joe Kelly throwing over the head of Alex Bregman.
Oh, my.
Okay.
Oh, my. 3-0 pitch sails over the head of Alex Bregman.
There might have been a little intent behind that one.
There might have been.
You could just hear, okay. He was waiting for it, and it happened.
There might have been, but will there be intent tonight? Here is Joe Maddon, the manager of the Anaheim Angels, talking about if he plans on going headhunting.
I don't want to get caught up in that imbroglio. I want us to play baseball, play the game, pitch the game properly, and hopefully come out with the series win. I'm not interested in extracting a pound for flesh for what has occurred. I know I wasn't in this division, did not play these guys straight up, but I'm still a member of the fraternity. I'm really about the healing process right now. I know there's going to be varied opinions on so many different levels with this, and I get it, totally get it. But I'm more concerned about us taking care of us and let the Astros take care of themselves.
There we go. Maddon won over a lot of people earlier today. Dusty Baker, we know he's old school. Madden's kind of got that laid-back bro, hey, do you want to smoke a J vibe to him? But he's also got some old school in him as well. We know the Astros have been built on analytics. This is Maddon on ESPN, a quote that a lot of people liked on the text line, talking about analytics in sports.
I think in some ways it diminishes everything that we do. I think it takes the human element out of a lot of moments where we rely on math to decide our answers all the time. And I'm talking about in a baseball sense. I think there's a lot of business folks out there that would conclude the same thing. And having said that, I am not totally anti-analytics or technology. I've been doing it for years. I just think you have to utilize it in the proper way, proper sense. For instance, I think analytics are a great acquisitional tool. I think if you're sitting in the offseason trying to make decisions and you have to really thin slice things, I think analytics are wonderful. There are times analytics, to me, can help fix a physical problem that a player might be having. And I do like it for that. But I want real coaches coaching this and not presenters bringing stuff to us, anticipating that the result's going to occur. We have to understand that the heartbeat matters the most. Everybody's working off the same sheet of music. The art is being subtracted from all this. The NBA, all they do is shoot three-pointers. And I think all that is the residue of math and analytics. So I think we have to appropriately distribute this stuff, utilize it properly, and understand that we do not want to subtract the soul and the heart from the game, which I think if we're not careful, it's going to eventually do.
You know about this? That's one of the smartest, best commentaries you'll ever hear on using analytics versus trusting your eyes and your gut or your history, your experience, or whatever. He covered it all, man. I mean, yes, analytics, you cannot ignore it. It is a very integral, maybe 50, 60, 70% even of some of your decision-making relies on some kind of analytics. But at some point, you have to be a manager, is basically what he's saying, or a coach. and trust your experience and your gut and your knowledge away from the math. I love that commentary. I think it's one of the best ones you'll hear.
I like me some Madden, man. I like me some Madden. I like me some Dusty, too. I mean, I know I was hard on Dusty yesterday. He deserved it. I mean, honestly, it hurt me more than it hurt him, honestly. I know that Dusty's gonna bounce back, and I know there's gonna be some other times where Dusty frustrates me, but yesterday hurt me more than Big Dusty, J-Lo. We'll see what happens tonight. Astros 8-10 postgame show. You want to get fired up, 713-572-4610. Call in that postgame show with yours truly. Get real heated after some throws baseball. I can guarantee you that. We're going to have Lance McCullers on the bump, by the way. The return of Elmac continues.
I'm really looking forward to this. It's going to be a lot of bouncing back split screens here, man, tonight. That's for sure. I want to see McCullers, for sure.
We're going to see McCullers. And then, Elmac. Elmac. You know who we're going to see tomorrow?
Who is tomorrow? Who's the pitching matchup?
Zach Greinke.
The silent assassin.
I knew that. I thought you were talking about from the Angels' perspective.
Because
Ohtani got roughed around a little bit.
He didn't even get an out. You hyped him up, and he didn't even get an out, John.
No, I'm still
hyping
him up. I'm still hyping him up.
He's a hitter. He ain't no pitcher.
Take that crap somewhere else.
He can't pitch in the bigs.
He can't pitch in the bigs?
He can hit. He can't pitch in the bigs. He ain't the scouts. They hyped him up like he was Brendan Fraser in the scout, who batted leadoff for the Yankees and like hit like six home runs and threw a perfect game with like 81 strikes, like struck out all 27 batters. They hyped up Ohtani like that. He's a poor man's Chris Davinsky.
I think he's gonna have a really good year. I really do. Now I know he scuffled, if you will, in his first outing, to say the least. But I think he's gonna have a real big year.
A real big year.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see.
He went yard last. I think it was last night.
Yeah. Yeah. He can hit. He just can't pitch. That's the problem.
Man.
He can't pitch.
He can't pitch. What you're saying.
Not here. He can play Asian baseball. He can pitch in. He can pitch there. He can't pitch here. This is the big leagues, bro.
It's not Asian baseball.
It's Asian baseball. This is the big leagues, bro. Come on, man. Just stick to one position. You're not Brendan Fraser from the Scouts. Rockets.
Oh,
are the Rockets going to have a big year? Here's James Harden, providing a message for all the Houston sports fans.
We're bringing it back to H-Town. We've come up short these last few years, but this is another opportunity for us to fight for it and get after it again. So we got some grinding to do, some work to do, but the goal is to bring it back to H-Town.
That's the goal, of course, but is it realistic?
Yeah, it is.
Furthermore, that's the goal. Can you even beat the Mavericks, James?
Yeah, they have.
People are saying they got a better team than you. Can you beat them?
Yeah, they have one of the best offenses in the league, you know, so our defense is going to have to be engaged every possession. Obviously, with Luka handling the ball, controlling the team, and then Porzingis, you know, being able to shoot, we got to make sure that we're all engaged, you know, every possession, make sure our talk is where it needs to be, and every round of basketball, and give ourselves a chance.
Who's guarding Porzingis?
I don't know who is guarding Porzingis. That's a great question.
I mean, because this ain't a guy that is just going to go on the block. He can go on the block, but he can shoot, mm-hmm. too. Who's guarding Porzingis?
Big T, UCK.
Okay, I guess. Yeah, PJ can get out there. But the problem
is... It's going to have to be, right?
But the problem is they're going to run, like, pick and rolls, and PJ's going to have to... Man, this is going to be interesting. I don't know who guards Porzingis.
It would have to be Tucker, right?
I guess, but then Tucker's just going to end up on Luka. Because they're going to run that high pick and roll with
Porzingis. Yeah, they're going to decide. They're going to pick. They're going to, you know, that's the luxury you have. You can pick who the matchup is going to be, who the switch is going to be on, and that could get problematic. By the way, Ohtani, 3:10 p.m. on Sunday.
Josh James versus
Shohei Ohtani.
Hey, we're going to be talking about a 10-run Astros performance on Sunday. I can tell you that right now. That's my Friday future trip. And matter of fact, hit the music. I'm going to start off Friday future tripping, predicting what's going on Sunday on that note. on that note. There we go. Here we go. All right. Friday Future Tripping. Normally Lopez starts it off. I'm starting it off right now. Ohtani does not last two innings in the Astros shell his butts. Ohtani, get back to batting. You don't belong on the big league mound. Astros all over Ohtani does not last two innings.
Why are you down on Ohtani as a pitcher?
Did you see him last time?
Yes. Everybody has a bad outing. How did you see Grinke last time?
He got an out.
Josh James, Shohei Ohtani, 3:10 p.m. Sunday.
You gonna call your shot on Ohtani? You gonna call your shot on Ohtani?
I'm gonna say 5 2/3, and he'll give up probably a couple of long balls, but they're gonna be solo shots.
A couple of long balls.
Yeah, but it'll be solo shots. So he'll give up 2 earned and strike out 4.
Okay, 2 earned, strike out 4. In how long? 1 inning?
5 2/3, I said.
Okay, 5 2/3. I got him in less than 2. Next Friday, Future Tripping.
No Astros will be plunked the entire weekend.
The entire weekend.
The entire weekend. Statement.
I like the way you're thinking there. I like the way you're thinking there. I don't like saying this. I think the Rockets could still get the dub, but I think Porzingis has at least 25-10 tonight.
I can see that.
I think in this format, I think Porzingis is a bad matchup for the Rockets. It's one thing to ask P.J. Tucker to guard, you know, centers, but when you're guarding a center who's basically go out there and shoot a little bit, I think Porzingis goes for 25-10 tonight. I still think the Rockets get the dub, but I think Porzingis goes 25-10.
All right. I think James Harden puts up a 45 spot tonight. 45
for James Harden.
Mm-hmm.
Like where your head's at tomorrow. Or tonight. Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Zach Greinke. Oh, my gosh. Zach Greinke. That's all I got.
No, you got to give me more than that. You got to give me more than that.
Assassin.
I don't have anything for Greinke. All right, I'll say that Zach Greinke, 4 innings. 4 innings, 1 run for Zach Greinke.
4 innings, 1 run. I'll take that.
4 innings, 1 run.
I'll take that, tomorrow. That's for sure.
Good storytelling skills.
Well, didn't really tell a story. I just made a prediction.
All right, I got a bold one for you here. Joe Kelly's suspension will be reduced, and the internet will go nuts.
Okay. Okay. Reduced to what?
I don't know, but it won't be 8 games.
Okay. All right. All right. All right. Here is my final Friday Future Tripping, and this might be wishful thinking. I'm not using logic when making this prediction, and I'm damn sure not going by what my eyes have told me. 5 hits for George Springer.
What?
From Friday to Sunday. From Friday to Sunday, George Springer, 5 hits.
So he snaps out of it.
Snaps out of it. Just like we've grown to become used to with George Springer. 5 hits Friday to Sunday.
All right. I'll be done with that.
5 hits Friday to Sunday. That's Friday Future Tripping here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Get your popcorn ready, baby. Get your popcorn ready. Get your beer ready. If you're still at work, you're listening on the radio.com app, get ready. This is one of those days. You're posting up on the couch. You haven't been able to do this for a long time. Your weekend has ended, and you've said, you know what? What am I going to do this weekend? I can't go to the bar. I can't go chill. I want to be responsible. What's on TV? Am I going to watch Seinfeld reruns? Like, am I going to watch freaking Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? Like, what's going on? I've watched all the Netflix stuff. I mean, I've worn this out. I've watched this movie 25 times. I mean, what am I going to do? Am I going to go on the internet and argue with people about stuff?
Yeah, no, you do that.
That's not what we're going to do. We're going to watch sports, buddy. It's a two-piece combo. It's a two-piece combo. It is Rockets on one slab, Astros on the other slab. First time we've had 2 major sporting events in this city in 215 days. This is what weekends are supposed to feel like. Oh, by the way, Astros tomorrow. Okay, I see you. Oh, the next day, Astros and Rockets. Oh, by the way, they're playing Greek Freak. Who?
Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, I don't know much about that guy. That's the hitter, right? What's he doing on the mound? Lord. Is it like a 17-9 game, a 17-2 game, and they need to use
a position
player? It's
like when you get a right fielder to pitch for an inning or something.
Basically what that is every time they put that guy on the mound. Like, give it up already. That's he's not that. Like, he ain't Brendan Frazier from the scout. Just let him hit. That's basically what this is. This is basically like when Tyler White's fat ass came in last year and pitched. That's what I feel like when Ohtani's on the mound now. And watch him. He's going to throw a no-hitter now. This audio is going to be marked, and I'm going to have to eat crow on Monday. But you know what? That's fine. I can eat crow because I'm going to be consuming a lot of sports in the next few days. Five games with local interest, J-Lo. Go catch you some fish, man.
No fishing this weekend, man. I'm going to be all about posting up, as you say. And watching all kinds of stuff.
There we go. There we go, man. It's lovely. You are blessed. Like Jackie,
I am blessed.
You are blessed.
Figgy, you're blessed.
Figgy's blessed. Figgy's very blessed. He's too blessed to be stressed. Shout out to all the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole. Thanks to, I guess, Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby for meeting with the media types. Thanks to all the loopholes for y'all's contributions on the think tank and all y'all's feedback on the text line. Hope you have a good weekend. If you don't have to work, post up and watch sports. If you have to work, at least there's no traffic. For the OG John Lopez, for Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do, I'm Landry Locker. This has been another edition of In the Loop. I'll talk to you tonight on the postgame show. But in the meantime, Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley are next.
Thank you, Figgy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.